Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today about the Israeli airstrike that killed 7 World Central Kitchen relief workers. The White House has said Biden is outraged and heartbroken by the airstrike. But some question the president's empathy for Palestinian civilians in Gaza. Earlier this week, Biden met with a group of Muslim American leaders. Among the attendees was a Palestinian American doctor who was working in Gaza a few months ago. Dr. Thea Ahmad decided to walk out of the meeting in protest. He joins us now. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start with the fact that you didn't storm out of the meeting or walk out abruptly, but you did deliver a message to the president. Can you start by telling us who was in the room and what did you say to them?
You know, it was the president, the vice president, members of the administration, and 5 or 6 Muslim American community leaders. There were other medical professionals like myself who had been in Gaza. I was the first person to speak at the meeting after the president made some brief remarks, and I just wanted to communicate the urgency with respect to a looming Rafah invasion. I mean, this is something that we had been hearing about for the last couple of weeks, that it was inevitable that the Israeli military were going to invade Rafah and that they were talking about ways that they were going to do that. And I just wanted to communicate loud and clear that there was no way that that was going to be done in a safe manner, in a manner where civilians can be evacuated. In fact, what we suspected and what the consensus is in the international NGO community and amongst UN agencies is that it would be an absolute bloodbath. It would be a massacre. And so I wanted to make sure that was clear.
And then why did you walk out of the meeting? Why not stay and listen to the president respond?
For me, it was just a matter of doing so out of respect for the Palestinian diaspora, the Palestinians in Gaza and in the West Bank and East Jerusalem who are suffering immensely. And I also didn't want to make it seem that I was okay with some of the policies that were being implemented in Gaza. And so, as you mentioned, I didn't storm out. I didn't wag my finger or yell or throw anything on the floor. It was really just out of respect for them, I'm going to excuse myself from this meeting. Mm. And the president looked at a picture that I had given him from an 8-year-old orphan, Hadil, and a letter that she wrote asking him not to invade Gaza. And he said he understood.
You know, I do want to ask you, and I hear everything you're saying, did you not feel, I mean, you had the audience of the most powerful man in the world, that maybe staying and pressing your case a little further might bring about some change, might make an impact?
Well, of course, that's something that I thought about. But it's important to note that I knew there were people who had been in Gaza who would be able to continue the conversation. But also, it's important to note that what took place over the past week suggested that this meeting maybe really wasn't a working meeting. Maybe it wasn't intended to sort of implement some of the suggestions that we had. And I'm referring to the response with respect to the World Central Kitchen, the 7 humanitarian aid workers who were killed, the fighter jet sales, the 2,000-pound bombs being authorized for transfer, things that suggested this wasn't the appropriate venue necessarily for us to be able to voice our concerns and then actually be heard.
So, Doctor, some would say the president has made it clear to Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and to others in the military, the Israeli military, that he does not agree with them invading Rafah. And we've reports today that U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was speaking with his Israeli counterpart, expressing outrage about the killing of the humanitarian workers that you mentioned at the World Central Kitchen. What do you want to see? What more do you want to see from the Biden administration that you aren't seeing?
I agree with you. I think rhetoric has changed. Perhaps tone has changed. But there needs to be concrete steps. You know, I do understand that the president and the defense secretary and the State Department have started to take a different tone with respect to a potential Rafah invasion, as well as the humanitarian suffering that's taken place and the famine that's in the north. But we haven't really seen that translate into consequences for the Israelis if they don't listen to what the United States is telling them.
What might those consequences be?
Well, there's a possibility of conditioning aid. There's a possibility of delaying transfers. There's a possibility of introducing UN Security Council resolutions and supporting it, not just abstaining from these votes. I mean, these are all important signs that would suggest the United States is changing and shifting its policy, not just its rhetoric.
And when you say delaying transfers, are you talking specifically about weapons?
Yes, exactly. When you hear about 2,000 pom bombs that can level neighborhoods and cities, and hearing that that's being approved quietly for transfer, something like that should be delayed. Something like that should be canceled, given how this war has been prosecuted. And so, you know, it's really about concrete actions.
If nothing changes vis-a-vis Biden administration policy, is that enough for you to not vote for President Biden in November?
To be honest with you, I'm not even thinking about November because of this Rafah invasion looming. I mean, it's hard to even imagine what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. We don't even know tomorrow when we wake up what we're going to hear. The World Central Kitchen having their convoy attacked like that, three separate missiles for three different cars along a coordinated route with the IDF. I can't even imagine what else could happen, you know, in the next 24 hours. And it's something that I'm terrified about. It's dominating, I think, all of our minds. All of us are very concerned about this and panicking. We're talking about people starving in the north and then an invasion in the south. And so I think that's what the focus is. And we want the Biden administration to be able to move on some of these things now, as opposed to thinking about what things are going to look like in November.
You were in Gaza not long ago. Tell me about your visit.
I was in January. I was in Khan Yunis, and it was when Khan Yunis was under a very intense military campaign. I was at Nasser Hospital. At the time, Nasser Hospital was the largest remaining hospital, and it was horrifying. I was not prepared to see so many children and women being injured in bomb strikes, in air strikes, tank shelling, shrapnel injuries. But I also recognized that my Palestinian healthcare workers, my colleagues who were there, had been doing that around the clock without pay. They are the absolute heroes. And I want to mention one specific surgeon who was with me at Nasser, whose whereabouts right now are unknown because we suspect that he may have been abducted by the Israeli military, Dr. Khalid Assur. And it's just very concerning to think that he's among the 200 healthcare workers that have been abducted in this conflict.
The White House and the White House press secretary, both to NPR and at the press conference, declined to comment on the meeting. I'm just wondering what more you think needs to happen to get the message through.
From our perspective, it's just about seeing some action here. Make Rafah a red line. Call for a permanent ceasefire. Let's get some food to the north of Gaza consistently. Let's make sure that people who need to be medically evacuated out of Gaza, the 9,000 of them, that they can do so in a streamlined process. I mean, these are concrete actions that I think are reasonable, things that can change on the ground quickly.
Dr. Thea Ahmad, Palestinian-American Emergency Room Physician in Chicago. Dr. Ahmad, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.